Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
Lots of reaction on Greece and also to Michelle Mulhern making phone calls on Greece. Sean, are the Irish people going to own anything in this country? Asks Olive. And again on Greece, why should we help out Greece? They got themselves into the state they're in because no one pays their taxes there. That's from Jessica in Fisborough. And then our government did not have the guts or the courage to challenge Brussels and the 1%. Well done, Sarita, and good luck to Greece, says Bernie. Then on in regard to Michelle Mulhern, she can call her Kenyan friends at her own expense, maligned or not. She can't bleed confidentiality when it's taxpayers' money. Has she not heard of Skype? Asks Susan in Dublin. And again, on this one, I was seething listening to this woman. How dare she? Shame on her squandering taxpayers' money and people starving in this country. And why can't politicians ever actually answer a question? Anne-Marie in Galway. Well, we do not know that taxpayers' money was squandered. That has to be confirmed, but that's obviously an interpretation that Anne-Marie has put on it. And again, on Aer Lingus, why would BA use a Heathrow slot on 200 Irish passengers, each paying less than £100, when they can use it on 340 Asian passengers paying £500 or more? It's simply economics. How is the bus link between Stansted and Heathrow? Because that's what we'll all have to use from now on, asks Colm. I don't know if there's a bus link between Stansted and Heathrow. Maybe there is. Now, only 1,000 debt deals were done in the first year of operation of the State Insolvency Service. Half of these were bankruptcies, this at the time when thousands of homeowners are facing repossession. It's emerged in recent days that the Taoiseach, Mr. Kenny, is to meet with the head of the service later this week for discussions, and also with a number of the busiest PIPs, personal insolvency practitioners. With me now, Charlie Weston, Irish Independent Personal Finance Editor, who's been writing about this. Charlie, is it in essence the case that the insolvency service just isn't working?
No, it's not working well enough, Sean. That's certainly the case. You know, you have something like 37,000 people who are 2 years or more in arrears. Around 31,000 of those have got letters from the bank threatening repossession or saying that they're going to initiate legal proceedings. So you're talking about 31,000 families out there who face repossession. And, the state set up this insolvency service and that was put in place to deal with that. The kind of those difficult cases where people are a long time in arrears, where they have a real problem paying the mortgage, the insolvency service was put there to kind of resolve those issues, if you like, because there's only really two ways of dealing with those kind of cases. Unless those people win the lottery, which is very unlikely, they're either going to have the home repossessed or they get a debt deal from the bank. And, you know, the banks can do an informal deal or they can go through the insolvency service.
Well, now, on that point, Charlie, is it likely or possible that a lot more than the 1,000 deals we talked about are being done informally by the financial institution?
Well, there certainly are. There are informal deals being done, and banks like the informal deals because they keep control, and often they're very poor from a consumer point of view, those informal deals, because they're quite complex. You get a document, a legal document, can run to 12 pages of legalese, and it very much suits the bank. This insolvency service just hasn't picked up at all, taken off at all. And Enda Kenny realises now, you know, those people who've been threatened with repossession, just around the time his people are knocking on doors looking for a vote on the doorstep, they're going to be told by many people, look at you're coming to me looking for a vote. I'm facing repossession here and you guys haven't really done enough here to solve this issue. So 1,000 debt deals is miserable. You know, half of those are insolvency deals.
What are the blockages?
The banks. It starts and begins with banks. Their reluctance to write down debt or restructure difficult cases. They are restructuring the simple cases. They're cherry picking the easy cases where people are just a couple of months in arrears and where, you know, you can sort that one out very easily. Maybe these people have got back into work. They've got on top of it. They're not difficult to sort out. But it's the long term, difficult, thorny cases that just won't touch. They're leaving them in abeyance. Sometimes they write to these people and suddenly, you know, they start repaying the mortgage because they get money from family or friends, or maybe they're a strategic defaulter. But, you know, that happens sometimes. But the majority of these cases are just genuine situations where people borrowed too much. They can't afford to make the repayments on the mortgage that they took out in the boom. And, you know, something has to give here and the banks are reluctant to give. So we're facing a crisis here. But and the Taoiseach realises this is not being solved. We're 8 years down the line here. We're not getting on top of it.
Is it likely or possible, Charlie, though, that people have been trying to cut these deals and they're just being turned away?
There's an element of that, you know. Banks are very reluctant to do deals through this insolvency service. I mean, you know, that's very much the case. And they're actually going to set up their own shadow system. They're bringing in a British debt charity to kind of set up something to deal with multiple debts, which would see...
banks are doing this?
They are. It's called Step Change, a British charity called Step Change. This was tried before by the central bank, and it didn't... They tried a pilot project, and it collapsed after the credit union said, we're having nothing to do with this because we're going to be the losers here. And we don't see banks writing off debt, and we just don't see people being looked after. So they're trying it again now, and that's just seen as an affront or a kind of a way to kind of get one over the insolvency service. So there's a real issue here. So the Taoiseach has asked the head of the insolvency service, Lorcan O'Connor, who's a good guy and a very progressive guy, he's to go in with five of the most active personal insolvency practitioners on Wednesday for a meeting to sit down and try and hammer out, why is this insolvency service, it's a year in operation now, it only did 1,000 debt deals, why is it not happening? Why are we not seeing a big flood of these? There should be thousands of these
but
deals.
But if what you say is right, Charlie, and the banks are the problem, surely it's the banks you should be having in, not necessarily the insolvency service of Ireland.
Yeah, because I can tell him now, before he has his meeting, the issue is the banks, you know, and giving them a veto was the last thing that maybe should have happened. And, you know, there was a very good report done on this by Paul Joyce of the Free Legal Aid Centre's FLAC, and he said, look, you know, the only solution that he can see, and there may be constitutional difficulties with it, is to set up a state body with kind of compulsory powers to kind of force banks into write-downs in reasonable cases. You know, not all, you know, some people will still end up in having their homes repossessed. Some people will voluntarily give up ownership of their homes. But there are situations where the banks just should cut a deal. And remember, it's when banks sell a bundle of mortgages, sell them off to somebody, and there's been a lot of that happening in the market, they're all sold at a discount and they have to write down the debt anyway, you know. So, I mean, these people won't get back on an even keel without some sort of a deal being cut. And, you know, it's dangerous for a politician going into elections in 2016 if this is not sorted. And that's why Enda Kenny is acting now.
What about the arrangement made? And again, it's another parallel, I suppose, brokering kind of a deal-cutting service between AIB in the first instance, I think it was, and the Irish Mortgage Holders Association, allowing them to represent people who were in trouble and who were underwater.
Yeah.
Has that been making any more progress?
It has. I mean, you know, Irish Mortgage Holders are quite effective, and they have a deal, as you say, with AIB, and that includes EBS, obviously, and Haven Mortgages, that group. There's also a deal with KBC as well, where if people don't trust the bank, and often these relationships are totally soured and people are not going to sit down with the bank, you go to David Hall's group as a third party, an independent third party, and you try and hammer out a deal that way. And they can, you know, if these guys are dealing with this every day, they can look at a case and go, look, that one is suitable for a personal insolvency arrangement, or that one is suitable for bankruptcy only, you know. And there are a lot of people bankrupting themselves. I mean, that's a phenomenon. This morning in the courts again today, now there's a whole string of people being bankrupted.
Is there a problem at all, though, Charlie, about, for instance, the costs that you have to put out upfront if you're dealing with a PIP? Is that not something that may be causing some people to hold back?
I think there's a perception that it's very costly, because that certainly was said initially, and the insolvency service has tried to deal with that by they will refund the money to your advisor, your personal insolvency practitioner, if the banks are unreasonable and turn down the deal, so you won't have to be out of pocket. But they haven't got the message out. I think part of the problem is the perception is the insolvency service is just, you know, it's complicated, it's expensive, and they've failed to get the word out that actually it's quite a useful tool. There was a very interesting case in Waterford where a judge referred a number of cases to financial experts. These are people facing repossession. The cases were looked at, and in the majority of cases, an insolvency deal could be done, and in all but one case, the home could be retained. Now, the people involved just weren't aware that this option was there. So it's up to the insolvency service now to do a blitz, an immediate blitz.
So maybe there's more to this than the banks then.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, people just don't realise that there's an option here. I mean, but the banks are being intransigent. I mean, we've 8 years down the road and they're still at this extend and pretend. The kind of deals they're offering people aren't great. A lot of the time it's what's called capitalising arrears, where you add the arrears to the principal mortgage and you pay it off over a longer period. Or they're still using interest only. So, you know, they're not exactly kind of determined to get to grips with it. They're still delaying and hoping it'll sort itself out.
Now, on the other side of it, of course, in house purchasing terms, we've moved on now to a new generation. People are trying to get on the ladder who hadn't been on it before, and the central bank is due to announce in the coming days what it's going to do, its final decision about the money that's got to be put up front. Will it be 20% as initially suggested by the governor? What's your expectation there, Charlie?
Well, the board of the Central Bank, it's called the Central Bank Commission, meets tomorrow morning at 9:30. Now, it's made up of 10 people. It's chaired by Governor Patrick Honohan. There's two women on the board, and it's a good, interesting cross representative representation of different sectors in the economy. Like, there's the Secretary General of the Department of Finance, there's a union representative, there's a couple of economists, and it meets tomorrow. What I think is that they've looked at a lot of research. As I understand, they had a number of presentations from the central bank's own economists showing that first-time buyers are less likely to default. The people who default on a mortgage apparently tend to be people who went for the third, the fourth mortgage, who get in the trophy house. But the first-time buyer people tend to be very savvy, tend to be good at saving a deposit, and tend to stick to the terms of the deal. So the board of the commission of the central bank is minded to give a break to first-time buyers. So they'll impose a rule where they'll have to be a 15% deposit. Now, that's higher. You can get a mortgage with a 10% deposit at the moment, so 15 is higher, and progressively move over 5 years to bring that up to 20%.
But so it'll start at 15.
Start at
15
for first-time buyers. That's pretty soon afterwards. I think they'll make a kind of official announcement possibly on Thursday, and it'll be pretty soon from the end of this month, which is a compromise.
So 15% for first-time buyers, and rising to 20 over a period. But in the meantime, what about other people?
Other people, it'll be 20%. So, if you want to do a switch, if you've got your mortgage and you have a bit of equity in it, you'd need to have at least 20% equity, because that will form your deposit, as it were.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they've come under a, I suppose you might say, a hailstorm of criticism.
Barrage.
Between the Minister for the Environment saying it's ridiculous, Alan Kelly, Jack O'Connor coming out as well. And yet, what's the biggest thing we criticise the central bank for in the boom years? Not regulating enough.
Sure.
And here they go down the road of regulation.
I think you could argue this is too blunt.
The roof falls in.
It's too blunt. I think, it just came at it too hard. And there's a fear that they're a sensitive group and a vulnerable group, first-time buyers. Very unfair to kind of pull the rug from them. Maybe those people are halfway towards a deposit of 10%, and you suddenly say to them, you need 20%. I mean, that's a bit of a big call for people. So, I mean, maybe they came at it in too kind of a blunt way, really.
Right, Charlie, we'll see what happens soon enough. Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, thank you for coming in. Just another one on the phone calls. Just an idea to save the taxpayer on phone bills. My husband's sister is in hospital in the USA, and we bought a global credit, €10. It gives 300 minutes to her cell phone. That from Anna in Dublin. We'll be talking again about Greece after the break. But right now at 11 o'clock, we go to the RT newsroom and Brian Jennings.